Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Marg. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? Shall we pray? Father, it is beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, to imagine Jesus, the creator of all things, being subject to humiliation and suffering and agony and beatings at the hands of his creation, whom he loved. Father, we stand in awe of your grace, of your mercy. We are so grateful for your love. We are so grateful that you are love. But we also acknowledge that you are holy and just, and you cannot overlook sin. We thank you again today for the redemption that is ours through Christ. And as we spend a few moments now in your word looking at two simple yet powerful verses in 2 Timothy, may you speak to our hearts and cause us once again to just be renewed in our own souls and spirits. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A 39-year-old man named Bob McFall was desperate for help. Bob was suffering from a rare blood disorder, and he needed a bone marrow transplant in order to survive. A search was conducted among Bob's family members to see if anyone in his family could provide him with matching bone marrow. It was soon discovered that the only person who could provide Bob with the bone marrow he desperately needed was his cousin. So Bob's cousin was approached, and it was explained to him that donating bone marrow would cause him no harm at all. But Bob's cousin refused to help. Bob McFall then sued his cousin and took him to court. He argued that his cousin had a moral duty to save his life. The trial dragged on until finally a verdict was reached. The court ruled that although his cousin was being selfish, the court could not force him to donate bone marrow to save Bob's life. Bob McFall died 3 weeks after the verdict. Bob McFall had a serious problem. He needed someone to intervene and come to his aid in order to save his life. Although we may not need a bone marrow donation, you and I have something in common with Bob McFall. We need someone to come to our rescue in order to solve our deepest problem. If you were searching for a single sentence that captures the basic message of the Bible, what sentence would you choose? Many of us would look to John 3:16, and I think there's good reason why we would do that. But I would suggest that there is another sentence in Scripture that captures the main theme of the Bible. Would you please follow along as I read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, if you have a Bible with you. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and Paul said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given at its proper time." In this one sentence, the Apostle Paul sums up the core message of the gospel. He tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity. A mediator is someone who intervenes between two parties to resolve a conflict that exists between those two parties. In 1 Timothy 2:5, Paul says that there is only one mediator between God and men, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. Now, this raises at least two important questions. Why do we need a mediator, and why is Jesus the only mediator between God and humanity? To help us answer these questions, we need to understand the nature of God, the nature of humanity, and the uniqueness of Christ. We will never recognize our need for a mediator unless we first understand the nature of God and the nature of humanity. So let's begin with the nature of God. Scripture reveals many, many things about God's nature, But three things are relevant for today's topic. First and foremost, God is holy and pure. From the earliest pages of Scripture, we learn that the essence of God's nature is His holiness. When He revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, God said to Moses, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." The ground itself had no special properties that made it holy. It became holy because of the presence of God. To say that God is holy is to say that God is set apart from any degree of sin and moral imperfection. Hebrews 1:9 explains that God loves righteousness but hates evil. The living God is holy, and for that reason, He cannot condone sin, nor can He condone evil in any form. A second thing we must understand about the nature of God is that God is love. 1 John 4:7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Likewise, verse 8 tells us God is love. God is holy and He hates evil, but He is also a God of infinite love and compassion who cares for His creation. Years ago, you may have seen this, there was a clever television commercial where a little boy is sitting at a table and a well-dressed man in a three-piece suit asks the boy if he would like a truck to play with. So the man gives the boy a big, shiny, beautiful toy truck. With great enthusiasm, the boy starts to play with this truck, but about 10 seconds later, the man rips the truck right out of the boy's hands. Then he gives the boy a flimsy piece of cardboard cut into the shape of a truck. Then the man says, "Here's your truck." Looking at the piece of cardboard, the boy says, "This is a piece of junk." And the man replies, "Yes, but the first truck I gave you was a limited time offer." And then the camera shows the look on the boy's face. The boy is bothered by the unfairness of the whole situation. The commercial does a great job of showing how even children are dismayed by injustice and unfairness. Any of you who are parents and you have more than one child at home, you've probably heard this over and over again. That isn't fair. I firmly believe that the human thirst for fairness and justice is a reflection of the fact that we are made in God's image. And this leads us to a third characteristic of God's nature. God is just. Our understanding of God is limited unless we recognize that He is a God of perfect justice. In Romans 3:25, Paul said, "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice." Psalm 33:5 says, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice." Because He loves justice, God must judge sin. There's no way around that. His just nature means that He cannot overlook sin and pretend that it doesn't exist. So the living God is holy, loving, and just. Although this is far from a complete picture of God's nature, it lays the foundation for understanding why human beings need someone to be a mediator between ourselves and God. Now that we've looked briefly at a few characteristics of God's nature, let's look briefly at what Scripture reveals about human nature. First, Scripture explains that we are born with a sinful nature. Today, the dominant view is that human beings are inherently good. In other words, if left to their own devices, people will choose to do what is right and good. Getting back to children for a moment, if this is true, why do parents need to spend so much time and energy disciplining and teaching their children to do what is right? The answer is that we have a predisposition towards sin. The word sin literally means that we miss the mark, we fall short of God's perfection. We have an inherent disposition to break God's laws, a disposition to rebel against him and his ways. Romans 3:23 says that this is true of every single human being. This is the bad news, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Second, Scripture explains that our sin separates us from God. As I said earlier, God cannot pretend as though sin does not exist. He is holy and just, which means that our sin leaves us condemned before him and separated from him. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. In other words, our sin leaves us indebted to God, and the natural consequence of our sin is eternal death and separation from God. So our deepest need as human beings is to be forgiven of our sin and be reconciled to God. This being the case, we now see why we need a mediator. We need a mediator who can reconcile us to a holy God. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul says that the only mediator between God and humanity is Jesus. I want to give you two reasons why Jesus alone can reconcile us to God. Reason number one, Jesus was like us in that he was fully human. He was like us in that he was fully human. By nature, a mediator must represent both sides equally. Yet, as we have seen, there is a vast difference between the nature of God and the nature of human beings. Therefore, the only one who can mediate between God and humanity must be able to identify with both God and humanity. Jesus alone meets these criteria because he was fully human and fully divine. One author writes, "Since sin has been committed by man, therefore sin must be atoned for by a man. Only a human being can be the perfect substitute for other human beings. The debt and obligation and responsibility are mankind's alone." Philippians 2, 7 and 8 tell us that Jesus took on human likeness. As a man, Jesus could pay for the sin of human beings. He could identify with us. Reason number two, Jesus was unlike us in that he was fully divine and sinless. He was unlike us in that he was fully divine and sinless. You see, the only one who can mediate between God and humanity must be able to identify with both God and man. Jesus was like us in that he was fully human, but he was unlike us in that he was sinless and fully divine. As a sinless Son of God, only Jesus could offer up a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Speaking of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." I was recently reading about a teenage girl who went to see her counselor, and this troubled girl is what psychologists call a cutter. Whenever she is distressed, whenever she feels ashamed, she cuts her arms with a knife, sometimes so deeply that she requires stitches. When she came to the counseling session, the girl wore an oversized turtleneck sweater with sleeves that went down almost to completely cover her hands. She pulled up her sleeve and showed her counselor all the scars on her arm from the cutting. Whenever this girl was upset with herself or upset with the offenses of other people, she would cut herself. It seemed to release tension for a little while at least, and furthermore, she saw the cutting as punishment to punish herself for her own sins and her own failures. It's sad, isn't it? But people seek to atone for their sins in many different ways. Some may go to extreme lengths like this girl. Others believe that by being a good person or by going to church, God will forgive them in the end. But none of these things can reconcile us to God. Only by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ can we be forgiven of our sin and be reconciled to a holy God. We need to repent of our sin and put our faith in Christ, because he is the only mediator between God and humanity. This morning I want to ask you, do you know for certain that your sins are forgiven because Christ is your mediator and your Savior? Let us pray. Father, we have briefly explored why we need a mediator and why that mediator can only be Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. He was the sinless Son of God. He did what we cannot do for ourselves, and that is to live a perfect life, to obey all the laws of God, to fulfill the law, and to die as a substitute, as a sacrifice in our place. Lord, I pray for any who have never found and discovered that hope and that peace that comes from knowing Jesus. I pray that your Spirit would open up their hearts and their eyes to understand their need for him and to come to put their faith in him. Thank you today for that grace and that hope and that peace that we have through Christ. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen.